Hey, Christine, how's it going?
Hey, Lauren, it's all right. I missed House of the Dragon this week, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a sad week with no hot D, and it's gonna be like that for a while.
I was like sad on Sunday night. I was like, where'd my routine go? Like,
I know.
I want another episode. And then HBO was like teasing me. It like came up when I opened HBO. It was like, House of the Dragon. Watch the whole season if you want. Now that it's over. I was like, put that away.
Yeah. So a little sad, but we, by the way, listeners, are Pod of the Dragon, the podcast about House of the Dragon and Game of Thrones, really anything going on in Westeros. So here we are. And today we're going to kind of do a, we've done an episode for each episode of season one of House of the Dragon, but today we're just going to kind of share our overall thoughts, and then we have a couple of rankings that we need to get through, for the season. We've got our brutal deaths and our bad dads, the worst dads in Westeros.
Yes.
We'll continue to add to those lists through future seasons, but we're still going to rank them at the end of season one here.
Yeah, we'll have like season winners and then we'll have overall winners.
Yeah. So general, well, first of all, spoiler alert.
Oh, yes.
We are going to be talking about the entire season, season one, House of the Dragon. We also did read Fire and Blood as well as all the other Gurm books. So we do occasionally reference the text. I don't think we generally do a whole lot of that to the point where it's like major spoilers, but you know, if you're super concerned about it, you've been warned.
Yeah, we do sometimes.
And then general content warning, as we always say, the content warning you really need is for watching the show, but we do talk about everything that happens on the show. And I'd say like the big ones from this season, incest, childbirth trauma, violence, probably some rape somewhere, I don't know.
Yeah, there was rape.
So, those kinds of things. Should we just kind of share our thoughts on the overall season? I know we've talked about each episode, but let's talk about it all as a whole.
Yeah, what did you think?
I was pretty happy with everything overall. I liked it more than most seasons of Game of Thrones, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But not more than all seasons of Game of Thrones.
I think that's fair. That is a good assessment. Yeah, I liked the acting and the casting a lot, I feel like, is kind of the best part to me. The acting is all... Well,
and I know we had, like, speaking of the casting with the multiple cast members per character, I know, like, going into this, that we didn't all know how that was going to play out. And I think, like, the first couple of time jumps, I was a little like, I don't know about this. But mm-hmm. I think it actually worked out really well. And I'm pretty pleased with how they did that, as well as how easy it was overall to feel like there was continuity with the characters.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think when we were in it, I wasn't sure, like, how is this all going to come together and make sense? There's too much going on. But I don't feel that way anymore. Like, it all fed into itself really well.
Yeah, and I feel like if we were reserving any sort of time jumps to be, like, between seasons, it really would be just too drawn out because it is so focused on this, like, one-ish family plus a few extras. It's not like Game of Thrones where you had 1,000 characters. There's still a lot, but it's a little bit more of a condensed story. So I think it just would have been too slow if we hadn't had the time jumps.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, great casting. Really good cinematography throughout most of the episodes. There are definitely some like really notable moments where just the way everything was filmed and scored, you just sort of not only were drawn into the scenes, but you sort of experienced the feelings that the characters were feeling. And I love that when that happens. So that was very, very appreciated by me.
I liked that a lot. I think, yeah, that was my favorite part. I liked the pacing. Didn't mind the time jumps.
Favorite character?
It's Rhaenyra. I feel very, like, basic for saying that.
No, I know. I mean, that's,
but I love
that's
her.
True. I agree. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, it's sort of told in a way that makes us relate to her the most. But no one else is as likable to me right now, so.
That's, like, a lot of what makes it different than Game of Thrones for me, too, is there are definitely still those gray characters, but it's very focused on one set of characters, and it very much is set up for you to be pro-Rhaenyra. Like, she's very clearly, like, she's a problematic character. You know, she's definitely gray, but she's very much set up as the lead, whereas, like, Game of Thrones didn't really have a lead. We had Ned Stark for, like, 5 minutes before they chopped off his head.
Well, and I feel like that may change a little bit in season two, just because, like, all of the adult children now are, like, bigger characters in the upcoming scenarios that are going to happen. But I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, it's Rhaenyra right now.
Yeah, I think the kids are going to be a lot more important in the future. And we're kind of already seeing that a little bit. Mainly with Aemon. I think Aemon's becoming a much more important character. He's like a little mini Daemon, only, I don't know, he doesn't have the same Daemon energy.
He's not really likable.
I don't like him. Yeah. Like, he's all the bad parts of Daemon.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite episode?
I was trying to think about this. I don't know.
Yeah, me too. I definitely would say not the Hunt episode.
I think that, I was going to say that, I think is my least favorite
episode. I think so too. They're just like the 2-year-old's birthday party Hunt. That was stupid. Good scenes in that for sure, but
what was my favorite episode? I feel like it was the one where they went to Lena's funeral, because that's when all the drama starts to come in. We get, you know, the kids start to turn on each other. Alicent and Rhaenyra start to, you know, outwardly turn on each other, whereas before it was just a lot of posturing. And of course we get Rhaenyra and Daemon fuck and then get married in this episode. We get to see the dragon taming scene, which I've always wanted to see in Game of Thrones.
That was definitely one of my favorite scenes.
I know it's the one a lot of people didn't like because it was dark, but I think like the content and the plot of it is my favorite.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I did really enjoy the episode where Rhaenyra sort of like discovers her sexuality with like almost fucking Daemon and then going to fuck his son Cole.
Wait, I love that one too.
I like that episode a lot. So, I mean, honestly, like, other than the 2-year-old's birthday party ones, I really liked all of them. And I didn't even dislike that one. It just like wasn't as good as the rest.
It's just the least favorite one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we'd still get to see Rhaenyra covered in blood, just being badass.
Least favorite character?
Otto Hightower.
Otto fucking Hightower. Fuck that guy.
Otto Hightower. He's the worst. He caused all of this.
Yeah, he did. He really did.
He could have just let it be, but, you know, he was trying to meddle with things from the very beginning.
Yeah. And then, I guess, what did you think of, like, the choices in adapting from the book in terms of, like, where they made changes or where they, like, picked one narrator over the other? Because the book is sort of narrated by a couple of different characters.
I like it. I think the main change was Laenor surviving. I think in the books, he was killed by his lover.
Yeah, that was, like, probably the biggest change in terms of, like, it's an actual whole thread of a person that continues to exist. Also, like, I don't think I liked that they added in the whole A Song of Ice and Fire prophecy from Aegon the Conqueror. That didn't exist in the books.
Oh, yeah, no, I hate that, because it's referencing the end of Game of Thrones that was shitty and didn't address that ever. I think they're trying to, like, tie it together, and also, it felt like a way to try to make the Targaryens less shitty. Like, it's not just like, we want power. It's like, no, we have this, like, greater purpose. We believe that, like, you know, the realm needs us to be here, blah, blah, blah. Which is like, I'll take my Targaryens shitty. They're fucking, they're fire and blood. They're power hungry, like, murderous, incestuous, sexy assholes. Like, it's what the Targaryens are. That's what I came for. I don't need them to have any greater purpose than that.
Right, right, exactly. So I read a couple of articles where, well, one of them referenced Emma Darcy talking about that, though, and that sort of made me, in the context of this show alone and not Game of Thrones, it made me hate it a little bit less, because she talked about how in the last episode, in the scene that we hate where Daemon chokes her.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The reason that she, like, was not super upset about the choking was because she was simultaneously having this realization that her dad never did tell Daemon this secret, and that he, like, that's when she finally believed that her dad actually wanted her to be the heir, because she was the only one who he passed that on to. So I did sort of, like, appreciate that aspect of it, I guess, but I overall didn't like it.
If Game of Thrones hadn't ended the way it did, I think it would have been cool.
Yeah, true. What else? Any other final thoughts?
I'm trying to think. I feel like I had so much to say, and now that we're here, I'm just like, what? It was a show.
It was a season, so I think we gotta turn to our Brutal Deaths tracker at this point, Christine.
All right. Well, who do you got on the list? I don't even remember.
Okay, remember, it's only been one season so far, so the list isn't super long. And also, my handwriting's very hard to read. Okay. We've got Emma Targaryen, Death by Baby.
That one's bad.
Yeah.
That one still might be my worst.
That scene was very difficult to watch.
I think that's my least favorite scene, at least, of the whole show.
Yeah, I just now I'm realizing that I, like, blacked it out of my head.
Yeah, that was bad. That kind of made me hate Viserys, too. Because he... Yeah, the fact that that was non-consensual, like, I feel like it would still have been as brutal and as bad physically if she had said, like, I know I'm going to die, but save the baby. But that is not what she said. She said, no, please don't do this. Ugh,
yeah.
That was really horrible and really hard to watch.
Yeah. That was the worst. Well, we'll see, but...
Maybe. That might still be my worst.
It might be.
Remind me what else we have.
We've got being eaten by crabs. Brand of people.
Ooh. Oh, wait. I totally forgot about the whole crab feeder plotline.
Yeah. Yeah, don't forget the crab feeder. Yeah, tying people to posts on a beach and crabs, flesh-eating crabs, eat them to death while they are still alive. I imagine this takes multiple days.
That's bad.
I feel like you would probably die of thirst before you would actually die of the crabs, but, like, the crabs are eating you that whole time.
While you're dying of thirst. Kind of like being crucified, but with crabs.
Yeah, pretty horrible, actually.
Yeah, that's bad.
Boyfriend Joffrey.
Ooh.
Beat in the face by Criston Cole.
Beaten to death by Criston Cole. I hate head bashing. These are all really brutal.
They are. So, then we've got Lena, suicide by Dracarys.
That was also bad.
I don't know if that's the most brutal.
That one doesn't hurt me that bad because she knew what she was doing.
It was, like, her choice to do that. And I feel like the Dragonfire is so hot that it's, like, very quick.
It seemed quick. It seemed like it was the way she wanted to go. She chose that. And it wasn't suicide out of, like... It was, she was already dying and chose how she wanted to go, which I feel like is better than anyone else on this list who did not choose that type of death.
Yes. I forget his name. Father Strong and Harwin Strong. Fire by Laris Strong. Locked in a room and burned to death.
God, I hate.
Yeah, that's pretty terrible.
There's so much burning on this show, but like that, like being locked in a burning room, that's like my nightmare.
My nightmare is... being, this just happened recently, somewhere in Asia, I forget, being trampled by a crowd that, like, squished to death. And that's my actual nightmare. I think that's the way I would be most scared of dying. But yeah, being burned to death in a locked room is also bad. Then we've got Vaemond Valerian, head sliced like butter.
That was brutal, but it was fun to watch in a way.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's kind of normal for this show.
For this show, it was like, I started laughing when that happened because it's just like, shut this guy up.
Yeah, he did lose his shit and like get out of line. So, and he was asking for it. He knew the consequences of what he was saying. And then finally, we've got Arax and Luke.
Chomp chomp.
Death by chomp.
These are hard.
Yeah.
I think I know mine though.
Go ahead. I'm still thinking.
I still think it's Emma Targaryen.
I think so too. That's definitely the number one most brutal, especially just because like it was slow and we had to watch the entire scene. Like I could see the Strong Boy's death one being more brutal than it was if they had like played it out as long as they did with the birth scene where you like felt trapped in that room,
yes,
or something.
That's
but
true.
It was quick as far as what we saw of it. But yeah, like the Emma Targaryen one, we were watching that for like 10-15 minutes. I felt, mm-hmm. I think it was like a long scene.
Her husband did it to her.
It was non-consensual. It was one of those scenes. I'm talking about like the score and the cinematography bringing you into like feeling the feelings of the characters. It was one of those, and not in a way that I enjoyed.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those. No, that messed me up for a couple of days.
Yeah. So that one, I think, definitely is the worst of the season. Any runner-ups that you can think?
I think the Strong Boys would probably be my...
I think so, too. I think that's probably the next worst, and then probably Beat in the Face by Chris... and then probably Crabs, actually.
Then Crabs.
It's the slow death for me that gets me.
Yeah, that's true.
At least Beat in the Death by... Beat in the Face by Criston Cole would be a fast death.
Seemed quicker.
Eaten by crabs while you're getting a sunburn and, like, thirsting to death. That is pretty brutal. So, all right, well, those are our brutal deaths for the season. Death by shitty childbirth and people cutting a baby out of you is definitely the worst.
Bad dads.
Bad dads times. Or our list isn't long at all.
Really? Who do we have?
Guess.
Otto Hightower.
Yep.
Alicent Hightower.
Yep.
Corlys Velaryon.
Corlys Velaryon.
That's it. We didn't put Damon. He's not really a bad...
He wasn't really... I was expecting him to be a bad dad, but he hasn't shown us that really on screen.
His shitty husband. He's not a bad dad.
I feel like we'll still see it at some point. I'm waiting for it. But I feel like we didn't really see him being a bad dad.
Me too. He's even good to his, like, stepkids.
Yeah, and then we talked about, like... Viserys being like not the world's best dad, but in terms of like bad dads from Westeros, he doesn't really belong in the list.
Yeah, he's not that bad. I mean, he's kind of shitty to like his other kids that aren't Rhaenyra. He just kind of forgets they exist.
He's kind of shitty to his wife, but that's not what this is about.
Yeah, I don't think he belongs on this list.
No, so it's just those three for this season.
It's Otto.
Okay, is it though? Because like, let's talk about it. Otto Hightower. Let's talk about how he's a bad dad.
Okay.
He manipulated his daughter to get married to a man who was at least twice her age, but probably more. I mean, a lot of the, like, plotting against the kingdom and planning to usurp the throne stuff, I don't know if that necessarily falls into the fathering category other than how he... I don't know. It kind of does, but kind of not, you know? I mean, he's definitely using his daughter as a tool.
Yeah, he, like, asked his teenage daughter to go seduce the king for his own... I guess they all do shit like that on this show.
Right. Now, Corlys, we hate because he doesn't understand what gay is.
Yeah, he doesn't understand what gay is. But I think that's it, right?
That's really, like, the main thing. Well, no, he also tried to marry his daughter to the king when she was an actual little baby.
When she was 12. Yeah, not great.
Yeah. No, so that wasn't cute. So he's also kind of doing the same shit as Otto, just not as well, not as successfully.
Yeah.
Now, Alicent Hightower.
We're counting as a bad dad.
Yes.
I love how we're just like, Alicent's a bad dad.
She is. She hits her kids.
She hits her kids. She walks in on them. It's Alicent, isn't it?
It's Alicent, dude.
She walks in on them naked.
Like, thinks it's fine to have conversations with her adult son while he's naked. So some boundaries have been crossed multiple times.
There's that scene in the last episode where, or the second to last episode, where Aegon asks, "Do you love me?" And she just goes, "You imbecile."
Yeah, what the fuck?
Like, she doesn't even say "I love you" to her kids.
Yeah, lots of problems. And then also, like, she's doing the same shit that her dad did with the usurping the throne thing. I mean, I have some thoughts about why they had to add in the scene where she gets confused about what Viserys is thinking at the end. Like, they didn't really need that because she was already going to try to usurp the throne before, but then they, like, made her change her mind, blah, blah, blah. Didn't really need to be there, IMO. But she's making her kid usurp the throne from her dead husband and his real heir. So I feel like she's the worst because she's doing the same shit as Otto and Corlys, but also a lot of other shit that's not okay.
Yeah, I think you're right. But just Otto's like the...
Otto's the worst character on the show. I hate him the most.
Yeah, me too. I feel like he's the reason she is the way she is because of this intergenerational transmission of bullshit.
Yeah, but she just like ran with it, made it worse.
Yeah, I think it is Allison.
So yeah, there's our worst dad of season one.
Worst of House of the Dragon.
It's Allison Hightower. Now, just out of, you know, comparison's sake, hey, at least she's not Craster.
Yeah, no, this one was better to do after we did Game of Thrones, where, like, what's worse, raping your daughter or burning her alive? I hate this. Why did we do this?
Yeah, that was extremely depressing. Not that this isn't, but, you know.
Seems a little bit better.
Allison Hightower, the most bad dad.
The worst dad of Game of Thrones, of House of the Dragon. The worst dad of Game of Thrones was much worse.
Do you have any kind of, like, updates you want to talk about? I know we have to, I think we've, like, talked about a little, but we have to talk about how season two isn't coming out until 2024.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. So that they said, don't expect it in 2023. It's not happening. Sometime in 2024. We don't even have a date.
When you say they said, who are you referring to? We've mentioned this person before.
Who?
This is Casey Bloys.
Casey Bloys is who I saw. When have we mentioned him before?
We mentioned Casey on one of our minisodes. I think when we were talking about when this season was coming out.
Oh.
Because he was doing the same shit.
Pulling some shit.
Now, I was doing some digging.
What'd you find? Ooh, I'm excited.
I read an article where they're talking about how we can, like, kind of estimate what he actually means by this.
Mm-hmm.
They mention Casey's name, blah, blah, blah. Then they go into, like, well, let's look back at Game of Thrones, and this is an article in Forbes, by the way, just citing my sources here. They go, like, let's look at Game of Thrones and how long it took between those seasons, and they said, yeah, it was, you know, typically 9 months, between the end of a season and the start of a season for the first six seasons, which went from 2011 to 2016. So, out of curiosity, I looked up the work history of Casey Bloys.
Oh, boy.
Now, when do you think Casey was promoted to HBO President of Programming? Take a guess what year that was. 2016. The same year that Game of Thrones went from 9 months between seasons to 13 months between seasons. And then 20 months.
20.
Between
That's how all these shows are now. We wait like 2 years for them. And I hate it. I don't want it.
Who's in charge of it? Casey Bloys.
Casey Bloys.
Guess what? He just, like, within the last month was promoted.
Oh, no.
And is now the chairman and CEO of HBO and HBO Max content.
No, Casey Bloys. Give us more House of the Dragon.
On the other hand, we do know that all of the content planning includes lots of Game of Thrones spin-off content, so I'll give him that. But dude!
Just make this. I don't want, like, four... That's like some Marvel shit. I'm sick of it. Like, the, like, let's get, like, four different shows before the next season of this one. Nuh-uh. No, I just want to finish this story first.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine when Marvel does it because it's all connected. But, like, in this, I'm like, I don't want no Jon Snow show before I get House of the Dragon.
Yeah, we're busy. We're focused on this.
We're focused on this. My brain can't handle it.
So basically what I'm trying to say is that I blame Casey Bloys for the new trend of waiting more than a year between seasons.
I blame Casey Bloys.
He's my new enemy, except he is still putting Game of Thrones shit on HBO, and HBO is putting out a lot of good content, so can't blame him for that.
That's true. He's not D&D.
Yeah, tighten up the schedule, man. That's all I'm saying.
Speaking of tightening up the schedule, did you see the other announcement that came out this week? George R. R. Martin said yet again that he's made progress on The Winds of Winter. Something we've heard before.
Same shit he's been saying for how many years now?
We're never getting The Winds of Winter. But that new book is out, The Rise of the Dragon, which I think is like an illustrated version of like the stories that are in Fire and Blood. But I think it's like kind of the same.
Yeah.
Like not it's the same story. It's not the same like text.
I think it's similar to this one that I have, A World of Ice and Fire, which has a lot of text in it, and it is different from anything else.
That has a lot of background, too.
Yeah, so it has a lot of, like, text that's unique to the book, but it's illustrated. It is like a coffee table book, but it does have a lot of good content in it as well.
Yeah.
So I think George mentioned in his blog a lot of times that it was similar to that, so.
Nice.
There could be some good stuff in there.
It's probably great. It's probably worth having. I'll probably buy it. But also, like, we're never getting The Winds of Winter.
No, he's not working on that. It's a lie.
I mean, I'm sure he's working on it, but I don't think it's ever going to be done.
Are you sure?
My guess is that he keeps writing things and then, like, deleting it and going back later and, like, not actually making progress.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, he said that Ryan Condal's focus is Hot D Season 2 and mine is Winds of Winter. Okay.
So he's not involved in Hot D Season 2? Is that what he's saying?
I don't know, because I'm pretty sure he is. So I'm confused.
So he's like, don't come to me and ask me about Hot D. Come to me and ask me about Winds of Winter. But then people keep asking about Winds of Winter. And he's like, stop asking me about Winds of Winter.
Just finish the book.
Just stop asking me about things. Just stop perceiving George R. R. Martin. He doesn't want it. I don't want it. That's who. I
don't want it.
That's why there's so many characters who don't want things. That is George R. R. Martin projecting his own feelings about his fame and power.
Yes.
I don't want it.
I don't want it. Well, I think that kind of is it for me. Do you have anything else?
I don't think so. We had talked about doing Psychology Corner, but then I forgot about it till this moment.
Me too. We'll bring it back.
We'll bring it back.
But yeah, what do you have going on right now?
Not a whole lot. Like I said in the last episode, my band Chaos Pixie has a gig in December in New York, if you're around. And if you want to follow us on Instagram, it's at Chaos Pixie NYC. That's about it. How about you, Lauren?
I would like to plug Athletic Brewing. I just ordered, I think, like 3 or 4 cases of the Chelada Nada because it's a limited edition beer that's like a Chelada beer.
Nice.
It's non-alcoholic. And it was my favorite one. And so I got like 2 cases of it last time they had it. And I was like, damn, I wish I got more. So I'm really excited that they have it back. But yeah, you guys can go follow me on Instagram if you want a discount code for that. My Instagram is low_mazzy, LO_MAZZY. Other than that, I guess let's just talk about our podcast.
Let's talk about the pod. We are Pod of the Dragon. We're a podcast about House of the Dragon, Game of Thrones, everything going on in Westeros.
Yeah, and you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at _podofthedragon. You can email us with your own thoughts on the season at podofthedragonpodcast@gmail.com. You can also check out our Etsy store. We have some Fuck Otto Hightower stickers on there, among other cool things. It is etsy.com/shop/podofthedragon. We're also on Facebook. facebook.com/pod of the dragon. And you can also subscribe to our show wherever you're listening right now. That's a free way to help us out a lot. We'll help you stay tuned for when we come back with some more content for you. More on that in a second. You can also, if you want to support the show and you don't want to go spend money on our Etsy store, you can share this with a friend. You can share it on social media. You can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you like to listen. And you can give us a rating. Yeah, those are all free ways to support us. You can go do that and we will appreciate it because we appreciate you listening.
Yes, thanks for coming on this whirlwind of a season with us.
Yeah, so we want to talk a little bit about what's next for us because we are planning to go on a short hiatus here.
But you don't have to wait till 2024.
No, we will be back before House of the Dragon is back.
We're not Casey, sure. Don't worry.
Yeah, so Casey Bloys does not determine our schedule.
No, we answer to no Bloys.
But yeah, we are going to go on a short hiatus. Another reason why you might want to subscribe so you are notified when we come back. But we plan to do a book club. In other words, we're going to read Fire and Blood if you want to join us. We'll be breaking it up into sections and doing a little recap episode so you can get our thoughts and perspectives on how gay Rhaenyra is.
Yes, very gay. Yes, so we're going to go back and read that. So that way next season, and we're like, we read the books, we don't remember it. Hopefully we'll remember it. So
you if can you remember it with us.
Yes, if you want to read with us, do that. Get the book. If you want our gay spark notes, here we are.
Yeah, coming soon. So yeah, we'll be back in the new year with that, as well as we'll be bringing back our minisodes and some of those minisodes might just be psychology corners.
Yeah, we'll add those in. We're going to do those in these episodes, but I, real case formulations, I didn't get to my House of the Dragon ones yet, but they'll come.
We'll definitely have to bring those out. There's definitely some characters who need therapy.
Oh, yeah.
Damon.
Ooh, I got to start thinking about that one.
All right, well, we did it again. We did a podcast.
We made a whole podcast.
A whole podcast. Until next time, dreams didn't make us podcasters, dragons did.
Dracarys.
Bye forever.
Bye forever.
Otto Hightower also needs therapy.
He needs a guillotine.